Meditation is precision work. It's like one of those old Mission Impossible TV shows. The ones that require a lot of very fine, detailed work. And a lot of coordinated teamwork as well. Your mind has many voices inside. There are many people in there. You want them to get to work together. To support one another, and to bring one another into balance. There's a sense of urgency. After all, we don't know how long we have to live in this lifetime. And even if we live long, we may not have all that much time to practice. But we do have time to practice now. That gives you a sense of urgency. But at the same time, the work is meticulous. That's one of the aspects of mindfulness. The Buddha says you're highly meticulous. What you're doing. That requires mental balance, balancing many different factors, as in the four bases for success. As the Buddha said, you have to have a desire that's not too excessive and not too weak. Your persistence has to be not too excessive, not too weak. Your intent, the amount of focus you put on this, has to be not too excessive, not too weak. And your powers of analysis have to be not too excessive, not too weak. So you have to use those different qualities to keep one another in line. In other words, you use your powers of analysis to notice, when is the desire too weak? When is it too strong? And what do? When it's too weak or too strong? But you notice a lot of the problem is how you talk to yourself. The conversations inside that you listen to. What you need as a meditator is kind of like a playlist. You know, the list of songs you have for different moods. In this case, the inner songs, as a John Mun would call them, have to be the sort that counteract the mind when it's going off too far in one direction. In other words, when you're feeling discouraged, you need to think of something that's inspiring. Here the Buddha recommends either you reflect on the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, the example that they give, or you reflect on your own generosity, your own virtue, remembering that you do have some good to you. And you reflect on the fact that you are here, you've got this opportunity, you've got the merit someplace that allows you to practice. So use that for encouragement. There are other times when you're in too much of a hurry, you have to calm down. That's when the playlist calls for something else. Remind yourself that yes, this is precision work. This is a detailed job. And if you rush through things, you're going to miss everything. Because we're looking for the details of the mind, how the mind creates the little thought world inside and how that thought world can suddenly blow up, like the old pictures they had of the Great Bang, out of nothing. Comes this huge expansion. How does that happen? You want to watch it carefully. You want to see what those first steps are. That requires that you be very, very calm. So you think of things that are calming. The fact that the Buddha worked on this for many, many lifetimes. He stuck with it. Requires a certain amount of persistence. Combined with patience. This is where you might want to think of the devas. Not the fact that they might be helping you, more the fact that, as the Buddha said, the qualities that make people into devas, you already have those to some extent. You have conviction, you have virtue, you have generosity. You've learned some of the Dharma. You have some discernment. There was a time when John Fung said I needed to use more of my discernment. I told him I didn't have any. He said, of course you have. If you didn't have any discernment, you wouldn't be a human being. So you've got some discernment. You learn how to use it. So you've got good qualities already. Not that you've got to rest on your laurels, but simply you use that thinking for encouragement. In other words, you learn how to look at your thinking from the outside don't remind you of something, you do have many alternatives. You're engaging in direct thought and evaluation almost all the time. Remind yourself you have different recordings, so to speak, that you can slip in. Just because a thought pattern seems to be going through your head and is very insistent, doesn't mean that it has to stay there and that you can't let it go. The Buddha gives you all kinds of instructions on how to let go of unskillful thinking. You either replace the unskillful thoughts with more skillful thoughts, or reflect for a while on the drawbacks of that unskillful thinking. You realize, stepping aside from it, watching it from the outside, that really isn't good for you. You simply decide not to pay any attention to it at all, let it chatter away in some corner of the mind, where you get to work. Or you realize that that thinking involves a certain amount of effort. Where do you feel that effort? Especially, where do you feel that effort in the body? Where is there a pattern of tension in the breath that allows that thinking to have a foothold in your mind? Can you breathe through that? And then as a last resort, you crush that unskillful thinking with your determination simply not to think it. That's when you think thoughts of Bhutto, Bhutto really fast, machine gun fire. You've cleared the air. So there are ways you can turn off your old thoughts. Just like those songs that go through your head that seem to be repeated over and over again. Well, they do have their limits. It's not the same song all the time. And one of the best ways of dealing with that is to start thinking of the different chants we have. Repeat those in your head. If you're going to have something running through your head, have something that's connected with the Dharma. In the same way, if the thinking is pulling you off in the wrong direction, getting you too nervous, getting you too tight, or getting you discouraged and lazy, replace it with a much better, more Dharma thought. Of course, there are some Dharma thoughts that would get you upset, like the ones we talked about the other day, when the Buddha was talking about the urgency of all this and how you should act as if your head is on fire. Okay, you use that kind of thinking when you need to be more stirred up in the practice. But if you're already stirred up, don't think those thoughts. Think another Dharma theme that's more common. They have that saying in Christianity that the devil can quote Bible to his purposes. Well, Mara can quote the Pali Canon to his purposes. And your unskillful mind, you can just latch onto something and say, this is Dharma, and drive yourself crazy. Remember the Buddha's instructions for speech. It has to be true and beneficial and timely. So a lot of things that are true but are not beneficial right now, because they're not timely right now. Of course, timely has to do not only with whether it's appropriate for the occasion, but also what kind of tone of voice you're using with yourself, whether it's more gentle or more harsh. There are times when you do need some harsh instructions to yourself. Stop being so lazy, stop being so self-indulgent. Other times you need to have more gentle treatment when you're feeling wounded and tired. So remember, we're looking for balance. Balance in our desire, balance in our persistence, balance in our intent, balance in our analysis. There are times when you start analyzing things just too much. There's no quietude in the mind. That's why John Munn, when a student came, especially one who had some background in Dharma study, said, put what you've learned in the books in a heap. It's kind of a chest they have in Thailand. Put it in a chest. And just focus on your mind right here, right now. In other words, put a lot of emphasis on just getting really quiet right now. And a part of the mind says, well, I'm supposed to be doing insight work and I've only got a few more days here at the monastery. Get the mind quiet. Because it's in the quiet mind that the real work is done. So keep things in balance. And remember, you have a repertoire here. And it's like having lots of different songs on your playlist. Which song is appropriate for right now? Which one will bring things into balance, will correct an attitude that makes it impossible to actually do what you need to be doing. Remember, we're working on Mission Possible here. This can be done. It just requires a lot of changes in your attitude. Instead of indulging in your moods, you have to stand outside of them. Instead of identifying with your moods, you stand outside them. See when they're useful, see when they're not. This is what the middle path means. It's not that you avoid pleasure or avoid pain. You go for something neutral in the middle. You learn how to use pleasure and use pain for a higher purpose. For this precision work of dealing with your defilements, that are getting in the way of your concentration, dealing with the ignorance that gets in the way of release. It's urgent work, but it requires that you be very patient. And as I said the other day, it's a middle path, and it's the middle paths that exercise your discernment. For an extreme path of urgency or an extreme path of very quiet do-nothingness, that would be easy, but it wouldn't exercise your discernment. You wouldn't have the discernment you need to deal with the defilements. So learn how to read things, learn how to step aside from what you identify with in your thinking. Learn how to manage it so the teamwork inside works together and they're here to help one another inside. You see, yes, the mission really is possible. It can get done.